Okay, 7:01 on December 5th, 2017. Welcome to the City Council meeting for the City of Shore Acres. 1.0, call to order, roll call.
Alderman Jennings.
Present.
Alderman McCowan.
Present.
Mayor Pro Tem Bowles.
Present.
Mayor Sanford.
Present.
Alderman Ramos.
Present.
Alderman Hoskins.
Present.
We have a quorum.
2.0, Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texans, one state under God, one and indivisible.
Three point oh, special presentation. Number 4.0, council reports and requests. I don't have anything. 5.0, public hearing, public comments. 5.1. Public comments, this is the opportunity for the public to address council or comment on items that appear on the agenda. Time is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Comments are to be directed to the city council and dialogue with the audience not permitted. Council members are prohibited by law from participating in discussion or deliberation of items not specifically identified on this agenda. We're going to start over here. Is somebody over here? Anybody in the back row?
Carmen Gamble Bay, 616 Baywood. I want to go and talk tonight because I'm so upset. It's like walking into a hornet's nest, I feel like, when I come here, because I got water in the house. We had cars going up and down the street, creating waves, wakes, or whatever it is. All I want is some accountability from our city government. When a FEMA buyout is offered and you find out about it 8 years later, something's wrong there. When the supplies, even though we weren't substantially damaged, some of us might have been, but we weren't asked before supplies were diverted. And if you have a difference of opinion, to some people, we are grifters. Some people, we are minions because we disagree with y'all. Maybe we just want some accountability. Thank you.
Anyone else in the back row?
You bet. So my name is John Kuhn. I live at 525 Baywood. Ms. Gamble Bays, I agree. I parked my truck sideways in the road so nobody could travel from this end to you. Figured that was the best I could do at the time. Had a laundry list of things I wanted to talk about, but I won't. I think I have kind of changed my mind. Two things I do like want to address. 7.6, I am an emergency management coordinator. That's what I do for a living. It's how I put food on the table for my family. I hear a lot of people grumble about ours not being in the city. I can't even stand on the side with that. I was the one on call this year, and I had to be here to be at my plant if the need arose. And it did 5 different times. So with the help of a couple other people, we found a route out of the city where we didn't have to push water into anybody else's house. That's why I parked my truck sideways, so nobody could continue pushing water to people's houses. We stopped people in the road, stopped them from driving. That's what tears up houses, is the weight. All that being said, let's talk about paying y'all for your phones. I just don't know that I think that's right. My phone that's in my pocket is the one that I pay for out of my pocket every month. And every phone call that I get for work, every email that I get for work, comes on that device. I know that you're an elected official, and I know that you don't make money, so that may be an undue extra expense for some of you. But I use mine every day for work, and I just can't stand behind that one. I want this city to get along better. I am part of the problem sometimes, I'm sure. I like to poke fun and rib, but I can take it back. But the one thing that I ask, if you're going to poke fun and rib back at me, make sure the words that come out of your mouth are true.
Is there anybody else down this end up here? Any more?
I'm Neil Moyer. I live at 1118 North Country Club Drive. I'd like to address several items on the agenda. It was pretty scant information to some of us in advance, so our ability to figure out what some of these are when there isn't a statement of purpose attached to these items is a little troubling. I think that would be something that would be desirable in the future if there are any resolutions that in the first paragraph it states what the item is about, not just the canned boilerplate resolution language. Otherwise, it's pretty difficult for some of us to divine what's going on. With regard to heavy trash pickup and storm debris removal, there may be a difference without a distinction, but I'm thinking if you look around the city, you can tell storm debris is what people are tearing out of their houses. Heavy pickup, I think, when I look around the city, it's mostly vegetative debris. And I think there is a distinction there because the stuff that people are tearing out of their houses normally wouldn't be out there. There would be no cause for that to be out there but for the storm. The vegetative materials, prunings, limbs, whatever, yeah, troublesome maybe, but I'm not sure that that's the most important issue that the city faces right now. Now, it may be that it won't matter if the city has a contract with somebody to pick up whatever, but the first thing should be the debris that's coming out of people's houses, the tree limbs and that sort of stuff. I'm not sure that's, but if it could be done at the same time, if part of the same thing, then fine. Go ahead, do it. But it means that some of the work still needs to be done. I know on Center Street there's a tree that got a modest amount of chainsaw action, but it clearly needs some more effort in order to be capable of being picked up by whoever. I agree with John that I'm not sure that this is a good time to be talking about expense allowances. I'm not sure what the item was really about since there was no description I could find of what it was about. So I'm just going to say this is probably bad timing to be discussing that item. And then finally, I think the issue of temporary housing. We had temporary housing, obviously, after Ike. Some of it was, most of all, it was FEMA trailers. I'm not sure that that's going to happen again this year. But some people may be able to put an RV trailer in place or something like that in order to oversee their home repairs. And I think that's probably appropriate as long as all the appropriate utility hookups and such are made and it's safe and sound. Thank you very much.
Anybody else want to say? Anybody?
I do. I want to say something.
State your name
and address. I will. My name is Billy Bolt. I live at 443 Banquet Street. I've lived here for almost 40 years, and I want to commend our city leadership as well as Mr. Stahl that was out and about during this time that we were experiencing the heavy rains and winds and made their presence known in our city. And especially on Saturday, when our community came together to have fellowship and share a meal, and I think it was a great community effort, and it shows what our community can do. And we don't have to have all this bickering and accusations and lies that are being told. And I think we can start from day one and do a better job of being a community that cares about one another. And I think we've seen that expressed since the storm moved on through and there was damage, and there was a great presence of our people that got out and helped up, helped neighbors.
Anybody else? We're going to move on to 6.0, City Manager's Report, 6.1, City Manager's Report, 6.1.1, Hurricane Harvey Recovery, Mr. Stahl.
Good evening. We have confirmed 60 homes who have received flood water from Hurricane Harvey. The amount of water in living spaces range from 1 inch to 36 inches. 7 of the 60 homes have affected damage, 41 of the 60 have minor damage and 12 have damage still undetermined. The estimated dollar loss for structure only, not including contents, at this point is $521,273 for those 48 affected and minor damage homes. An additional 19 homes are suspected to have some level of flood water inside the living area. However, the flood damage to those homes has not yet been confirmed. I've started not only making phone calls and receiving information here at City Hall, the police went door to door with a list that was prepared for them this last weekend to help identify whether homes were flooded or not. It's just as important to take ones off the list as it is to put ones on so that we know what we're dealing with. I came out Sunday and did a home inspection myself to determine whether we had substantial damage. At this point, we have had no occupied homes at the time of Hurricane Ike that have been identified as being substantially damaged, and that's very good news. I've been working with Decker Trash Company to integrate pickup of debris with their work. They started last Friday with picking up some carpet. If it was cut to 4 foot and rolled, they made a good effort to pick that up. I'm not sure they got all of it. As we went with a double pickup, so they had missed a day, so they were actually getting 2 days or two collections worth of residential, and then we're also picking up carpet. That is at no additional cost to us. That was something that they were doing as part of the service. We have been working with them on doing a heavy pickup, and the timing was good on that, with the target date of September 11th, next Monday. And Mr. Decker has been, he had a piece of equipment that he had reserved, but a larger company that came in to do some disaster work got it out from underneath him. He has since been looking to purchase one. He has one that he worked on yesterday and today. He didn't get a chance to follow up on that. There was one other potential buyer ahead of him, and I should know tomorrow if he's able to purchase that equipment. If he purchases the equipment, then we'll be good to go. If this week he can't land equipment to do the heavy pickup, then we'll have to look at other options. My preference would be to use our existing contractor. If we use a disaster contractor to do the pickup, that means that we will have to do that in a different form of compliance with FEMA. Means we'll have to hire an engineering company who will come out and have to assess each debris pile and have a person on hand and watch that debris go into the truck, and then have another person who watches that debris arrive at the landfill and go into the landfill. And the cost of just managing that paperwork and all the tickets and documentation drives that up substantially. And you might think, well, FEMA's going to pay for it. Well, yes, the president authorized 90%, so we've already jumped to 90%, but it's 90%. 10% of that's ours, and will be ours. So I have a vested interest in keeping the cost of debris removal as low as we can, the bigger the number gets, the bigger that 10% is. I'm going to skip around here to get all that together. There was a discussion of vegetative debris. All of that vegetation is really second tier. Our priority will be getting what's called C&D, the construction and demolition material, out of the city. And so that would be at the top of the list. They cannot be co-mingled. They can't be picked up together. They have to be handled separately if FEMA is paying for it, which, of course, we'd like them to pay for that. So you can't put vegetative in with the C&D. And you also have to segregate out white goods. Now, white goods are your appliances. We had a roll-off that was delivered to the water plant. We used that for the debris that came off of the city's properties. Public Works came out on Saturday and finished picking up the material. It was bagged by volunteers off of the Miramar Park. And so we did that on Saturday. And so we monitored what's going in that roll-off, and we'll take care of that. I'm also looking at driving our costs down by having Public Works pick up C&D that does not have to be handled as hazardous material. So refrigerators, air conditioning units, freezers, and clothes washing machines. Those all have to be handled separately and differently. We will have to contract that. During Ike, the cost of that was about $350 per unit to have them disposed of. So it's, you can buy them cheaper than you can get rid of them. To drive our costs down and only pay for those, at this point, since we have, and I'm monitoring the numbers, we have such a limited number of impacted properties that we will probably pick up all the clothes dryers and dishwashers and remove those from the stream so we don't pay $350 for those. Those can just go straight to landfill.
They can go to the scrapyard too, right? You
Pardon?
Need to pay for them.
Pardon?
Everything that's metal can go to the scrapyard, all the washers and dryers, and then you'd actually get paid for them.
If it's a clothes washer, refrigerator, those things, they have to first be have the freon removed. If it's a clothes washer, they have to take the transmission fluid out of the transmission, and it all has to be certified, and then it can go for recycling. So it gets to be expensive. But if we pull out those items, we can send direct to the recycling.
I don't know if they'll last that long because they come by anytime I stick anything out like that, they come and scoop it up pretty quick.
That's true. There are private entrepreneurs who will pick them up for recycling or for rebuilding. When they are set at the curb, when they're set there, they're in the street right away, they're abandoned property, and they can certainly pick those up. From a cost benefit, it saves us money every time they do pick one up. And they'll go, you know, they're not taking those home typically to put them in their garage. They're going to go recycling or they're going to rebuild them. So I don't know if they'll buy one, but we have a very low degree of vegetative debris, even though you see some out there. The big cost to a city is what's called leaners and hangers, and that's tree damage to trees that are in the street right away, and cleaning those trees up, and we have none of that damage. The city has virtually no city damage. We had one sign broken, and we had the carpet wet in here from water that came in under the doors and through the back corner. We were in here a week ago, and it smelled pretty bad. And today we had all of the carpets, or yesterday rather, sorry, on holiday, we had all the carpet in here professionally cleaned. And I think we were completely rehabbed, and so the cost of that was $100. So I think we're doing pretty good with the money. Public Works worked all day yesterday on the holiday, reading utility meters, water meters, so that we don't get behind on that with the other things that we know are coming. City Hall was open all day Friday with full staffing, and we had City Hall open yesterday with skeleton staffing. And while we had City Hall open yesterday, we received more than a dozen reports of flooded properties, so that helped us move the ball ahead. I met with FEMA today. They have not opened any disaster assistance centers yet. They've not determined the location of that. That ultimately was decided by the state. And they have made inquiries of those cities that have significant damage of where they'd like to have it. My understanding is that they had posed a location in Deer Park, and now that's kind of moved around. So I don't know where that will be, but they'll open one up. Everyone who had any water in their house does need to register with FEMA. Please do that. Registering doesn't obligate you to make any claims or file anything. It does help build a record of what kind of damage volume there is for them working on federal assistance. If you plan on making an individual assistance claim, which is different from flood insurance, they will send you a letter and information. If you're denied, they'll tell you why in that letter. Just go to the bottom and find out why. Maybe something you can cure. If you want to continue to pursue that for the assistance, whether that's temporary housing or any of the other things that are covered there, they will, in that packet will be a Small Business Administration loan application. You have to fill that out and return it. Even if you turn down the loan, they will not process your paperwork. You will be ineligible to get any benefit from FEMA if you haven't returned the Small Business Administration application. So, we need to get that word out there. If you ask for the assistance, you have to fill that out. You do not have to take the Small Business Administration loan. You turn that down and you can still get the assistance, but you have to fill that out.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Disasterassistance.org.gov, is that correct?
Yes.
The sign up for that?
That's correct. That's the individual assistance. And that's all I've got on my report this evening.
I have a question, Mr. Stahl.
Yes.
Could you explain the, you mentioned the property being placed on the curb. Could you explain the law and what the people that are putting do not touch signs on them can expect?
Well, it is abandoned property. And it is not illegal for someone to come and take something that's set out there. That said, our police department watches that, and we will stop anyone who is going through it in the manner in which it is making a bigger mess. In other words, if someone's breaking open plastic bags to look inside, then that will fall under littering. We can stop that kind of action. The people who put the signs on there are discouraging someone from being in their yard to pick those things up, and I have no problem with putting those signs out there. They're not enforceable. We can't enforce that. It's not trespassing. It's not private property. It is public property.
They're putting it out there for insurance purposes, though, right? Because they have to have it out there in order to file a claim with their insurance. They can't get rid of it until insurance comes in
and sees it. This is National Flood Insurance. It's FEMA. FEMA does not require
the insurance. But their homeowner's insurance.
None of that's covered by homeowners.
I was told by the insurance agent that I feel like you have to keep everything.
I understand that's what they're telling people. If you photograph it, that's all that's going to be required for the FEMA policy.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify that.
Yes, sir. Sorry.
No, go for it.
So we know the people that live on the end of Oakdale, the McCoys. And their insurance agent told them, do not remove anything out of your house. So they had left carpet and all kinds of stuff. They set their furniture out and set big things out. But through conversation with some other people Saturday, and I'm still not clear, and granted, I'm thankful I didn't get any water, but I know of maybe around my chimney, and I'm going to have to investigate that some more. But I didn't take any water in my house, so I don't know. So will FEMA, if I have homeowner's insurance with flood insurance and everything else, will FEMA back that program? Is that why it doesn't matter as long as you have 50?
Yeah, actually, all the policies are written on FEMA. It's called a write your own, but it's not for you to write your own. It's for Prudential or for State Farm or Allstate. They're all writing a policy that's a FEMA policy. It's all well-intentioned. They don't get a lot of flood claims like this on a regular basis, and there's a turnover in agents, and they don't understand. It is different.
Right.
It is different. It's important that you muck out because flood insurance, if it's rising water, flood insurance covers it. If it came in windblown to your chimney or your roof, that's your homeowner's policy. Okay. That's different. But the rising water is National Flood Insurance. National Flood Insurance won't pay you for damage that the wet stuff does in your house if you don't remove it. So they will not pay any claims for mold or for mildew or for rot that's caused because you didn't take wet insulation out or other things out. So you really are best served to move all that stuff out. Now, if it's stuff that you don't want on the curb for someone to go, you can put it in your backyard, you can put it somewhere else. But if you set it out, and in this city it's about 15 feet from the pavement, so your side of the ditch, that's all street right away. And you put it out, it's out. You know, you can't fence it, you can't. But, we're not encouraging anyone to go anybody's yard. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that there's a limit to what we can do. But yes, do remove it from the house and get it out of there. You don't want it to cause any additional damage. The other thing is we have a lot of fiberglass insulation in the homes, and it will wick. And the longer it sits in water, the more it will go up the wall, and you end up creating a bigger and bigger issue.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else have any questions? We're going to move on to 7.0 business. 7.0 is consideration of approval of ordinance number 27272 amending the general fund and utility fund.
Mayor Sanford.
Yes.
I'd like to make an orders of the day motion to remove agenda items number 7.1 through 7.5 from tonight's agenda as they were already discussed and voted on at the August 31st meeting.
I'll second.
The meeting was never called for Wednesday. You guys had a, I don't know if it's considered an improper meeting or a legal meeting, but it was never called. I didn't call it. I didn't get a request from council members to call it. David Stahl called it. It was on behalf, and I don't think he has the authority to do that. You guys had a council meeting, discussed the budget and the tax rate, voted on it without it being a properly called meeting. That's the reason why these items are back on the agenda.
Mayor Sanford, we have a motion and a second on the floor.
All those in favor?
Well, we still have discussion.
Okay, go for it.
There is still discussion, I mean, and it is a debate as to whether that meeting was called or wasn't called. You know, the Attorney General has stated the best thing to do in situations like this is to err on the side of caution. I mean, we didn't do that, and the best cure for this is just go ahead and do a redo. And you're also removing one agenda item on here that, you know, we still haven't fixed yet, and that is 7.3. That original agenda item, we voted on Budget Amendment 2. And I voted against Budget Amendment 2 three times. I'll give you an example. I'll tell you what Budget Amendment 2 did. And that's what we actually ordained was Budget Amendment 2, not whatever was out there. Budget Amendment 2 was actually passed back in January. So Budget Amendment 2 took $5,000 from the health and life insurance and put it into legal fees. That's what we passed at the last regular council meeting. That's what city council passed. And that's another purpose there, just to correct all the errors that occurred during that meeting. So removing all of these actions, the best cure for this type of situation is just to simply just do the redo. Let's just take the votes. We can get through it real quickly, and it's over. No reason to argue. That's my point.
Anybody else? We're going to vote. We're voting on Alderman Jennings' motion to remove items 7.1 through 7.6.
7.5.
7.5. Seconded by Bowles. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All those against?
Nay.
It passes.
I would like to also comment on that since I'm on the opposing side. That does mean that that ordinance for 7.3, 217, 275, will be passed Budget Amendment 2 once again. You did not put reallocate budgeted expenses to increase the funds available for legal fees. That never occurred not two meetings ago, but at the last regular meeting. Just so council's aware of that, we have an issue with our budget.
I'll also be requesting an Attorney General opinion regarding the legality of the meeting that was held without it being properly called. Moving on to 7.6. Consideration and approval of Ordinance Number 2017-276, amending the General Fund and Utility Fund operating budget for fiscal year 2016-2017, reallocating budget expenditures to fund an expense allowance of mayor and councilmen. This was brought by me because under ordinance, we are required by law to pay each council member a certain amount of money each month. I think it's like $35 or $25. And this is something that's been in place for quite some time. It's not something that we can just not pay. We can change it if we want to, which is something that maybe council wants to do so that the city is not obligated to pay this. But as of right now, this is an ordinance that was passed years ago. And under a balanced budget, we're required to pay it. So we probably need to pay our bills. Whether council wants to donate it to parks or what they want to do with it, that's really up to them. But that's the reason why this is on here. So we have 7.6, consideration approval of ordinance number 2017-276, amending the general fund and utility fund operating budget for fiscal year 2016-2017, reallocating budget expenses to fund an expense allowance of mayor and councilmen. Do we have a motion?
Okay, so that's a motion.
Moving on, 7.7, consideration and action to approve ordinance number 2017-277, declaring emergency, amending the general fund utilities and budget of the city for fiscal year 2016-2017 to provide supplemental appropriation of unbudgeted funds for emergency expenditure to pay for the unforeseen expense of storm debris removal. This is Jennings.
Yeah, I'll make a motion for consideration and action to approve ordinance number 2017-277, declaring an emergency, amending the general fund utility fund budget of the city for fiscal year 2016-2017 to provide supplemental appropriation of unbudgeted funds for emergency expenditure to pay for the unforeseen expense of storm debris removal.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion to approve ordinance number 2017-277 brought by Alderman Jennings, seconded by Alderwoman Ramos. We have discussion?
Yeah, just so you know why I put this on there, obviously we just had a little bit of a storm here. And so this gives Mr. Stahl, in addition to the money that we had budgeted that Mr. Moyer had brought up earlier for vegetative pickup, this pulls $50,000 from our reserves account, whatever you want to call that thing, and gives Mr. Stahl the flexibility to use it to get the city cleaned up, and then, you know, most likely we'll get a good bit of that reimbursed from the federal government. But even if we don't, we have to clean the city. So if you look at your Exhibit A, you'll see the $50,000 additional pulling from reserves and putting it into the heavy pickup, because that just happens to be the account it needs to go to. It's simply for flexibility for Mr. Stahl. He may or may not use it all, but that seemed to be a good number to start with.
What number was that?
$50,000.
So we're giving him $50,000. Well, I can spend $50,000. Okay, is there anybody that wants discussion on this or has anything, any input? Okay, so we have a motion to approve ordinance number 2017-277 brought by Alderman Jennings, seconded by Ron. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Passed with 7.8. Consideration and action to approve ordinance number 2017-278. Declaring an emergency, providing for temporary housing on residential lots, and suspending rules, regulations, and ordinances in conflict therewith. This is brought by Mr. Stahl.
Yeah, and following Ike, we did a couple of these. The first one we did then as well. It was to allow someone to bring a recreational vehicle in and put it on their own property while they do repairs. We don't have any residential structures that hit the level that is designated as major damage, which is to say, if you have funds available, you can make all the repairs within 30 days. That doesn't mean necessarily yourself, but a contractor can accomplish the work within 30 days. That being the case, I'm asking council to authorize people to bring in an RV of their own or wherever they get that on their lot, and to make sure that it is plumbed in a way that it disposes of wastewater and that it has proper water and fire protection, and that we approve that, unlike in Ike, where we did that for 6 months because we had people who had major damage. We do it for 3 months, which allows you a month or two to get your insurance funding to make your repairs and to get back in into the house. So this would run through November 30th. From now to November 30th, it does require an inspection to make sure that that you do have a damaged home and you have a permit to have it there, so that we can have them go away when that's done. I think it's an accommodation that our residents need and would be very helpful.
Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion to consider an action to approve an ordinance number 2017-278, declaring an emergency, providing for temporary housing on residential lots, suspending rules, regulations, and ordinances in conflict therewith.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
So we have a motion brought by Alderman Bowles to approve ordinance number 2017-278, seconded by Ramos. Do we want discussion?
If I could make one more comment,
sure.
I want to make it really clear that this does not authorize FEMA trailers. That's a separate action, and FEMA will not bring trailers in the city unless the city grants permission for FEMA to put trailers in the city. We don't have any substantially damaged homes, and so I would not anticipate that we would see any FEMA trailers. But I just don't want anyone to get confused that this trailer ordinance has anything to do with FEMA trailers.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Moving on to 7.9, consideration and action to approve resolution 2017-276, providing a waiver of late fees for water bills and the postponement of the date for water shutoff and non-payment. Hoskins.
Okay, what
do
we got here?
Could we get a copy of this?
There was not one posted. I'm going to send it down to you.
That's a budget amendment.
And I'll read it.
This is for water bills.
I think there's one too many.
There's item number 7.6 has ordinance number 2017-276 listed. Item number 7.9 has the same number listed. And we do not have that in our packet.
Thank you.
you a copy.
What was that, Jim? I'm sorry.
I'm going to move that we pass Resolution 217-276, which states, resolution directing the city manager to waive all fees for late payment that occurred for the utility billing cycle ending 31 August 2017 and suspend any water utility disconnects for non-payment for homeowners who sustained any damage as a result of Hurricane Harvey. Be it resolved that by the City Council of the City of Shore Acres, Texas, that whereas the City of Shore Acres, herein sometimes referred to as city, has determined that some homes in the city sustained damage as a result of Hurricane Harvey. Whereas Section 66-187A of the City Code states, the City of Shore Acres reserves the right to discontinue water and sewer service to any customer who is 10 days delinquent in payment of any charges set out in this chapter. Whereas Section 66-185.5 of the City Code states, suspension of certain fees for natural disaster or fire. A, for suspension of certain charges under this section, one, the building official must make a determination that the residential structure at the service address is not habitable by reason of damage from flood, hurricane, storm surge, tornado, high winds, earthquake, or fire. And the building official is of the opinion that the residential structure cannot be reasonably repaired to minimum required standard for habitation within 15 days. B, the late payment charges assessed under 66-185, if any, shall be waived for two billing cycles following the occurrence of qualifying damage. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the city directs the city manager to waive late fees for two billing cycles for residents that have sustained damages to their homes as a result of Hurricane Harvey. It is further resolved that the city directs the city manager to extend the grace period for utility disconnects for two billing cycles to residents sustaining damages to their homes as a result of Hurricane Harvey. And it will be so resolved. That is the resolution that I'm making.
That resolution is just to waive the $10 late fees and the disconnect?
And the disconnect for two
billing cycles. So it's not anything that we need to do a budget amendment for because that's not projected in our budget anyway. Okay, just let me clarify that. Okay, do we have discussion?
About a second.
I'm sorry, do we have a motion? Sorry. Ron Hoskins asked for a motion to approve resolution number 2017-276. Do we have a second?
Second.
Seconded by McCown. Do we have discussion?
Well, it goes back to me. I just think this makes sense. It sends a message to the citizens that we're thinking about that. It's two billing cycles. Much of it can happen anyway, regardless, but it's very clear. But I'll go ahead and open it up for the rest of the council to discuss.
I'm sorry, Jim.
Yeah. Well, I think it's redundant. I think the city manager already has that power, but be happy to vote for it.
Anybody else?
I'd like to make an amendment to his motion.
Yes.
My thought process is very simple. We have several residents that have kids that just started school, number one. Number two, people had to buy supplies for the storm. They're having to buy supplies and materials after the storm. We also have an event called Thanksgiving coming at us, and after that, we have Christmas. I'd like to amend it from two cycles to four cycles to give everybody a chance to get back up on their feet that had damage.
Do you have a second?
I'd like to accept it as a friendly second, but I'll go ahead and second it.
Okay, so we have a motion to amend resolution number 2017-276 to extend the wording that says it's for 2 months to, or two cycles to four cycles. It was a motion brought by McCown, seconded by Hoskins. All those in favor?
Aye.
And it passes. We're going to move back to the motion brought by Alderman Hoskins to approve resolution number 2017-276, seconded by McCown. All those in favor?
I'd like to make one comment before you vote.
Okay.
I just want you to know that you're digging a hole for our customers. That what's going to happen is if there is anyone who takes advantage of this and doesn't get disconnected for four cycles, that they are going to have amassed an amount that they owe that they will all come due at one time, and then they'll be on that fifth cycle, they'll be on the disconnect list with a big monster number. Yep. we're not at the point where we're very early in this event, so we don't really know. I mean, if we're going to run another 45 days before we get to the disconnect on this billing. I'd like to have the opportunity to come back to council and maybe propose some type of credit or relief measure that will provide some relief in what that bill is for a period of time, whether you want 2 or 4 months to help get through that if they're damaged. But just allowing them to build up where they owe more and more money and then hitting them. If you can't pay the bill now in 4 months, I'm not sure how you ever catch up.
Can I make a suggestion, please? Do you mind if I open it up to the public?
Go ahead.
Why don't you ask the citizens for donations? They don't have to. It's the same thing as, like, whenever you guys put the extra check thing in with the water bill to help donate to the parks or whatever. So many people are wanting to donate their time or clothes, can't donate clothes anywhere anymore because nobody needs them, or food or whatever. Now it's down to a monetary thing. If Ms. Gamble needs help with paying her water bill because she's paying for repairs to her house, my heart goes out to her. I don't have the extra money, but I could throw in an extra $5 to be used for a citizen that needs help with paying that bill. The excess money can go into something that just sits in waste. I mean, that's up to you to decide, but suggestion is just to ask the citizens if they'd be willing to donate a little kicker for the people who have been affected.
Okay, is there anybody else? Okay, so we're going to vote on Hoskins resolution number 2017, or motion to approve resolution 2017-2017.
Mayor Sanford, I do have one question. I'm sorry. I would like to ask Mr. Skull, just to be clear, you would like us to wait another week and think about this?
Yes, sir. In hearing the feedback from citizens, I think one of the things that would be an easy first bite at this is for us to waive the residential trash collection fee for those damaged homes. They're not going to be living there generating residential trash. The debris is a completely different category. I know that we're only talking, $15 a month, but as a starting point, I think there's some other things we could look at that might provide a relief without digging a hole where they're really in a hard spot to catch up.
Anybody else? Okay, we're voting on Alderman Hoskins' motion to approve resolution number 2017-276, seconded by McCown. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against?
Nay.
Ms. Dale. With McCown and Hoskins voting in favor, and Jenny Gold and Romulus voting against. Moving on to 7.10, discussion of why Ms. Utah did not reply to the request to do a redo for ordinance 2017-273 sent by Alderman Hoskins via email at 11 p.m. Wednesday, August 23rd, 2017. Hoskins.
Okay. And this is, I get really frustrated sometimes with the city email server. But, I requested very specifically, this goes back to ordinance 7-1. I requested for the Monday meeting that was postponed due to Harvey that I requested 2 items to be placed on that meeting, and only one of them made it. And I received no reply, no response, and when the agenda was put out, my second request was not presented. And I just would like to remind the city secretary that the mayor or any member of council shall have the right, without limitation, to include any subject matter on any meeting agenda, provided notice is made to the mayor or the city secretary by the deadline to submit the agenda item for a regular meeting, which is what I did, but I only got one. And it also states that any subject matter may be removed from an agenda item, from an agenda only by a majority vote of council during the course of a meeting for which the agenda is applicable, and in no other way. So I'd like to know why I didn't get my 2 agenda items placed on that.
Now, Mr. Hoskins, the item that didn't make the agenda was sent to me at 11:57 p.m., that's midnight on Wednesday, on a Thursday when we were preparing for the arrival of Hurricane party. And you are correct. I did not put it on the agenda. I did not have the opportunity to do that, given the circumstances.
Okay. Well, you could have replied and said you don't have the time. I could have understood that. Or it's already on the agenda. You still want me to put it on there? Whatever. But it would be nice to at least get a reply. Okay, I'm done with this discussion, unless anybody else has anything to add.
Okay, moving on, workshop session 7.11, discussion of the general fund and utility fund budget of the city for fiscal year 2017-2018.
Yeah, I put this on the agenda again, even though we had discussed it Wednesday night, just to give council another opportunity to review it, see if they wanted to talk about any more of it. Obviously, we've already got the proposed rate published. And we're going to have hearings starting next Monday. Is that correct, David?
Yes, sir.
So we're going to have hearings starting next Monday. And so that will give the public an opportunity to come and talk about it. That's why it's on the agenda tonight. And I've already got my answers offline, so there's no need for me to take any more time tonight talking about it. But if other council members have something that is on the agenda, we can talk about it or we can go on.
I have one question. I have not received a copy of any of the ordinances that they passed at the illegal meeting on Wednesday.
They were put on your desk, and this afternoon I picked them back up.
Did you notify me that they were in the city secretary's office?
Did not.
No, you didn't? Okay, so then they haven't been placed in the city secretary's office.
It doesn't require any notification.
It does not. Okay, so this has all been, so you have a legal meeting. You don't tell me that the ordinances are ready for
Mayor Stanford, point of order.
You don't have the floor. You're out of order.
What does this have to do with
the
budget
workshop?
You're out of order. I do have one thing that I do want to say about the budget that I'd like to see. Given all the budget amendments that we've made, where we have pulled funds out of various categories, and it seems to me that even with the last budget, we had a little bit of fluff all over the place. I mean, for us to be able to increase certain areas by the tune of probably $30,000 or more, I'd like to see a line item in here that sends money back to the reserve fund. And so that next year, if we really do a tight budget, next year if we go over budget someplace, we can take that money from what's allocated from the reserve fund instead of looking all over the place for something. That's just my comment about the budget as it is. Looking forward to the budget workshops.
I would like to clarify when you placed them in my office, since you did notify me that they were there. When were they placed in my office?
Off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you, but this was at the council meeting.
Because I talked to you at the gas station at the council meeting, and you didn't bother to tell me then either that you placed them in my desk.
You know, you asked me at the council meeting, and I asked you that question.
Yes.
You didn't ask what council did. You didn't
ask. Did I request a special meeting? Did I tell you to call
yes,
a special meeting? Okay, show me in writing where I requested a special meeting for Wednesday. I never requested a special meeting. You called a special meeting under state law. You don't have the authority to do that. Then you have council come in here and have a meeting where they're voting on our budget and our tax rate. You don't notify me that they're in the city secretary's office, which is the norm for you. You always notify me unless they're in my office because I have a certain period of time to review them and decide if I'm going to send them back. But you kind of played some trickery there, Mr. Stahl. This meeting is adjourned.